Welcome, Eagles, to another episode of Trad Cat Night Radio. I'm Eric Ajewski, founder and owner of Trad Cat Night, your one-stop website for all the day's latest church apostasy and end-time news. Now, Trad Cat Night is featured all over the alternative media circuit, and I'm doing my best to keep you up to date on all the latest happenings from around the world as we head closer to the fruition of the Third Secret of Fatima. My good friends, please subscribe and click the notification button right here on YouTube so you can get all the latest videos sent directly to your email. Now, in the event that Tradcat Night does go down on YouTube, which is a possibility, True News, another Christian channel, went down just the other day. Rick Wiles emailed me on that. I encourage you all to get to Tradcat Night across the plethora of platforms that I do have, whether it's on Veterans Today, Minds.com, PubeTube, BitChute. Tradcat Night Radio is now seen on iTunes and Google Play. We, of course, still are on SoundCloud.com and also the sister site TradcatNight.org. You can search Tradcat Night material across any social media outlet, whether it be Twitter, Facebook, or Google Plus. And if you have a special guest in mind that you would like to see on the show, contact me at apostleofmary@hotmail.com. to be sure to get him on the show. Tradcat Night is one of the hottest podcasts available, coming to you Monday through Friday. And we now have a live call-in show starting this weekend. I'm already pre-booked for that for the whole month of April. And today, for this April 4th, folks, I've got another special guest that is a returning guest to Tradcat Night Radio. We had a blockbuster talk a little over a year ago talking about the crimes of the Kabbalistic educators, and we really broke down the education system and how we've been hijacked. And today I have with me Alex Newman, an award-winning international journalist, educator, author, and consultant, in addition to serving as president of the small media and information consulting firm Liberty Sentinel Media. He has written for a wide array of publications. He is a foreign correspondent for the New American Magazine, a contributor to WND, and we really could go on and on in terms of who he is affiliated with in terms of getting his work, his articles out to the public. And if Alex would like to elaborate any more on that, I will allow him to do so. And so much we have to talk about today, and we're going to be covering the behind the scenes, if you will, of the New World Order. Alex, welcome to the program. Good to get you back on today, sir. What's the latest coming out of your camp? What's hot on your radar, basically? I mean, we see a lot going on with Trump, border wall in process. Apparently, now he's deploying military down there along the United States-Mexican border. Apparently, we're going to withdraw from Syria. A lot going on with Trump news. What can you say about what we're seeing with Trump over the last few weeks or so?
Awesome. Well, hey, Eric, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you again. And yeah, Trump world is interesting stuff happening. And, you know, it's, I think a lot of people were confused after he signed this omnibus bill. You know, we thought he was going to hear Save America and all the rest of it. And then he goes and, you know, signs this monster bill that provides all sorts of funding for the baby butchers at Planned Parenthood and the U.S. Department of Education that he proposed abolishing while on the campaign trail. So a lot of people felt betrayed. It does seem, though, that slowly but surely, Trump is getting a lot accomplished in terms of fulfilling his promises. We know now that he's apparently getting serious about the border now that we have these caravans of illegal immigrants coming. And so, you know, there are good things happening. You know, not a single media outlet other than the New American picked up an article that I wrote yesterday about Trump's Easter celebrations. He basically came out and publicly talked about Christ and the resurrection and Christ in eternal life and God as the author and protector of our liberty. And this was just an amazing speech, and yet the media completely ignored it. So a lot of the good things that Trump has been doing have been ignored or downplayed by the media, and they've been trying desperately to hype all of the bad things. So interesting times to be alive, and it's certainly preferable to what we had under Barack Hussein Obama or what we would have had under Hillary Clinton. So interesting things happening there.
Now, geopolitically speaking, as it relates to Trump, what can we make of some of his recent moves in terms of what some are labeling a war cabinet? I think Pat Buchanan was one of them who kind of raised his eyebrows and suggested that. We've got Tillerson out, Pompeo in, of course, Bolton. You know, how close are we to war? You know, as a Catholic, I'm always warning about this Fatima message, as I mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, and that, you know, over the past 2 weeks, we've seen Putin getting really tough with his language with us, essentially giving us our last warning, Britain. It doesn't seem like it's all talk. You know, what's your thoughts where we are geopolitically? And feel free to break down Russia, Syria, North Korea, whatever you'd like.
Yeah, well, thanks for the opportunity, Eric. And in fact, I noticed some of these trends years ago and decided to investigate further, especially because a lot of the conservative movement seemed to be kind of falling in love with Putin. And so, you know, my colleague and I, Bill Jasper, who I consider to be one of the best investigative journalists in the world today, we started digging into this. You know, who is Putin? What is his real agenda? And the conclusion that we came to, that I specifically came to in my two articles, this is part of a cover story package that we published some years ago in The New American, I strongly believe that Putin is playing along with this New World Order agenda. And in fact, if you listen closely to what he says, he very frequently alludes to these things. You know, right now we know he's building his Eurasian Union as just one example. And, you know, the globalists in the United States and in Western Europe have been very, very clear on the process to reach a new world order. They said basically we need to divide the world up into these regional governments, the European Union being the premier example, but of course we have the African Union and the Union of South American States, and they've been shooting for a North American Union for years now. We have smoking gun documents proving it. You know, you have the Association of Southeast Asian Nations. They tried to snag us all into the Trans-Pacific Partnership that would have created basically a Pacific Union. And, you know, to see Putin joining this and trying to create a Eurasian Union with some of the former Soviet states, I think is very troubling. Now, you know, publicly, he's been talking about Christianity, and, you know, publicly, he makes himself out to be, you know, a faithful member of the Russian Orthodox Church. But we also know that the Russian Orthodox Church was incredibly infiltrated during the Soviet era. I mean, first they tried to destroy it. They tried to, you know, basically wipe it out, blow up the churches, kill the pastors, etc. When that didn't work, they basically took a new approach, which was to infiltrate the leadership of the church and install communist agents all up and down the church hierarchy. And that continues to this day. In fact, the current, Pope is not the right word. I think they call him the Metropolitan, Metropolitan Kirill, was a KGB officer. So this wasn't even just, you know, regular old run-of-the-mill KGB informer. This was a KGB officer who now is running the Russian Orthodox Church. And anybody who knows anything about the KGB knows that, you know, this is one of the most savage, barbaric groups of inhuman monsters to have ever walked the face of this earth. You know, murder, torture, revolution, all of it is just like nothing. And so I'm very weary of Putin, and I also don't think that war is out of the question. In fact, if you go back and look at globalist documents, even back in the 1960s, they were talking about this. A gentleman by the name of Blumenfield wrote a report for the Institute for Defense Analyses and also the State Department, called A World Effectively Controlled by the United Nations. And in this report, they concluded that the quickest way to bring about a world government under the United Nations was to use war or the threat of war to get people to surrender their ideas of national sovereignty and self-government. You know, war is a traumatic experience, and people will give anything for a return to normalcy. So if you tell people that a war is coming, or if you make a war come, people will be much more likely to surrender their rights, their liberties, even their nations, than they would under normal circumstances. So I don't think it's out of the question that we could have a war. Putting John Bolton in, you know, as national security advisor, I think was a big mistake. You know, he talks tough, right? He pretends like he cares about the sovereignty of the United States. But then he goes and he becomes a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is the premier globalist tentacle, outpost, if you will, in the United States, moving the world and the United States toward a deeper integration and globalism and world government, essentially. So I have serious concerns. And on top of that, he's a warmonger. He's a neocon who, of course, didn't go to war himself, but is very happy to send our children and our wives and our sisters and our brothers to go die in these wars. So I think that was a bad choice. Hopefully Trump knows what he's doing. But I think the prospect of war is very real.
Now, what about on the front of gun control? We can't go a day, seemingly, without seeing some type of headline. You know, a shooting here in Maryland, a shooting here in Texas. Obviously, the big one with, who in my opinion is a crisis actor, this David Hogue, guy down there in Parkland. What's the end game in all of this? Is it crazy to surmise that we are being prepared for a foreign takeover? Maybe some would ascertain right now it's happening from within. I do mean a literal kind of Red Dawn scenario of being taken over. Obviously, they're targeting bigger guns, which would make it a lot more difficult for us to defend against larger artillery, if you will. We see the propaganda with all of these kids now demonstrating at various, campus sites, this or that. Are we that stupid? Or are we going to be that stupid enough to just give away our guns, or will this essentially cause another revolution in this country?
Well, I think on the bright side, the American people seem to be wising up to this gun control narrative. In fact, if people wouldn't watch the media, they would realize very quickly that Americans are becoming more and more pro-gun. In fact, even teenagers, right? USA Today tried to kind of bury the lead here, but they conducted a poll with Ipsos, and they asked teenagers from 13 to 17 whether more gun control and better background checks could have prevented mass shootings. And a majority said no. About half of Americans now live in a household that has a gun. Americans, now almost 60% of Americans, and these are according to the same polls that told us Hillary Clinton was going to be president. So my guess is they're drastically underestimating the support for gun rights. But at 60% of Americans now recognize the fact that widespread, broad civilian gun ownership keeps us safer and reduces crime and helps protect life, liberty, and property. So that's the bright side. That's the good news. Yes, if you watch the media, it's easy to despair and think that the Second Amendment is on the verge of being obliterated. I would argue that that is not the case. They've gotten a few minor infringements. They snuck some into the omnibus bill. And in Florida, they managed to get a couple infringements. They raised the age to buy rifles to 21 and things like that. But I think overall, the American people are becoming much, much more pro-gun, and that's very good news. Now, you hit on something, Eric, that I think is incredibly important, and I'm so glad you brought it up because nobody is talking about this, but the prospect of a foreign takeover. Now, to people who don't know any better, to people who haven't done the research and looked into these questions, that probably sounds ludicrous, right? We're America. They could never do that, right? We've got troops in 100-something countries and 900 military bases. They could never invade America. Well, yeah, they could, and they've made plans for it. The Soviet Union had been planning a ground invasion of the United States, and Communist China. The top leadership has talked about a ground invasion of the United States. Right now, they all recognize that if they were to try that, they would be slaughtered, right? I mean, you could send millions of troops to the United States and they would be slaughtered. We have 300 million guns in private hands in this country. We have millions of highly trained veterans. We have millions of highly trained hunters who can conceal themselves in the trees and shoot deer at a mile away. So any foreign armies coming to the United States would be absolutely devastated coming onto American soil. And this has been true, going back to World War II, when they asked, reportedly asked the Japanese emperor, why don't we invade America? He said, well, there'd be a gun behind every blade of grass. Same thing is true today. And I think that's one of the big reasons why the establishment is so obsessed with disarming the American people. They don't care about innocent children being murdered. Planned Parenthood is one of the lead forces behind this children's march, and they massacred 300-something thousand kids last year. So the idea that they care about kids is ludicrous, but you're right. There is a concerted effort to disarm the American people. I suspect the agenda is very, very sinister along the lines of what you suggested. And if the American people were to ever relinquish their firearms, I think we could almost guarantee that tragedy would emerge. We know that Communist China has been a crucial tool of the New World Order globalist establishment. And if you wonder about that, just look at the proof. David Rockefeller went over there in 1973, came back and wrote a column in the New York Times saying that the social experiment under Chairman Mao was the most important and the most successful in all of human history. Right? No mention of the 80 million innocent people who were slaughtered. If you look at George Soros, even recently, has been saying that China has a better functioning government than the United States. They should own what he called the New World Order. So these are monsters, and they very much see Communist China as a tool in their arsenal for enslaving humanity. So I think nothing is beyond these people. False flag attacks, you name it. Yeah. And we must keep our guns no matter what they say.
Yeah, that was actually going to be the next topic I wanted to ask you about, was along the lines of false flags. I have mentioned since the beginning that war on terror and just war in general as it relates to the New World Order, is a means for them to solidify the one world religion that's emerging, obviously, through the hijacked Vatican, in my opinion, but then also the emerging global police state. Recently, we've had Nikki Haley suggesting that Russia might attack New York, I believe it was, via chemical warfare. We obviously see what's going on in the Middle East and that picking up, a viral video over the last 72 hours showing, you know, Israelis gunning down Palestinian protesters and that going back and forth. It's paving the way, for my opinion, this Antichrist figure to arrive onto the scene. My question for you is, are you surprised that we haven't had another 9/11 type of an event, if you will, to kind of throw us into war, this next major war?
You know, I think it's a very real prospect, and I think Americans have to be on guard because, you know, these people have shown that they will slaughter millions of people with impunity and not even, you know, give it a second thought. So the idea that they would be hesitant to use a false flag on us due to any moral scruples is ludicrous. These people would stab their own mother in the back if they thought it would advance their agenda and give them more money and more power. So we absolutely need to be on guard, whether it's a false flag attack or a real attack. You know, I think that what's happening here is highly coordinated. They are literally trying to take over the planet and build, you know, as you said, a global government. And, you know, I have my own eschatological views, but I think the key to understanding this is all is really reading the Bible. You know, that's my personal opinion. But even here in the physical, we can tell, you know, I think very easily, we can look at the evidence, it's not even hidden anymore, that there is an agenda to abolish nation states, to move us toward a global government, to disarm us, to slaughter huge numbers of people, to implement total tyranny. And if we're not careful, that is what's going to happen. So, you know, we need to be praying fervently, and we also need to be taking precautions, and we also need to be doing everything we can to raise awareness and to resist this evil agenda before it swallows us whole.
Now, one of the areas I also cover here at TradCat Night, of course, is the economic side of things to the New World Order. And just today on Zero Hedge, Peter Schiff warns deep state unafraid to crash the market on Trump's watch. I have said from the beginning, as many of you know, I'm personally not on board with the whole notion that Trump is against the New World Order. That's just my opinion. I kind of see him just as being a less vanilla flavor type, if you will. I have a viral video on that for those who are interested with Dave Dionisi. But nevertheless, I do agree that he is certainly a better choice than Clinton. I've always said from the beginning, Alex, that he would be the fall guy for this economic collapse, for revolution in this country, and just war in general, which we've already covered here. What are the real prospects of him being assassinated? We've seen that being talked about over the past year. As things seem to get worse with the economy, I think we're going to see more and more reports of these types of stories coming out.
Yeah, you know, and I'm not necessarily opposed to your viewpoint here on, you know, on whether Trump is or is not involved in this agenda. I personally lean most of the time toward thinking that he really is who he says he is. You know, we have a lot of evidence that shows that. We know his father was, you know, a big supporter of the John Birch Society, you know, financier of the JVS, and also a friend of Robert Welch. And, you know, I think the John Birch Society, you know, named after a Christian missionary to China, has been at the front lines here of fighting this evil agenda. And if Trump was raised by his father, and we know he respects his father, he probably, you know, some of those values probably rubbed off on him. I know people who were involved in his campaign and who were involved in his administration who tell me that, you know, he understands the New World Order, he understands the Federal Reserve scam, he understands this evil agenda and intends to oppose it. But, you know, all that aside, there are some really troubling things. You know, his association with Henry Kissinger, right? David Rockefeller's right-hand man, you know, one of the lead architects of this New World Order, is very, very troubling. You know, they asked him who he respects. He said Richard Haass, the, you know, the head of the Council on Foreign Relations, which, as I mentioned, is, you know, the chief outpost of the globalist deep state swamp, whatever you want to call it, here in the United States. So those are very real concerns. As for the economic collapse, it's funny you mention that. I reported actually last year, early on in Trump's presidency, that there was a very real prospect of the globalists who run the privately owned central bank and all the rest of it collapsing the economy and trying to blame it on Trump. And if they did that, you know, they would without any doubt try to blame you know, the policies that Trump has pursued, you know, rolling back some of the regulations, trying to end, you know, China's manipulation of the economy, of the global economy. You know, these policies that really, in my opinion, make a lot of sense. And it would be very easy for them to collapse the economy, you know, pull out the floor from under the dollar, when, you know, take your pick, pick your poison, and then say, oh, look, see what you guys did with electing Trump, who opposes globalism. Next time you'll know better. And I still think that's a very, very real threat. And I just hope that enough Americans can be educated about the real source of the economic problems, which would be, you know, the fiat monetary system, the debt-based currency, the absurd spending levels from the U.S. government, the scam that is the international monetary system, including the IMF and the World Bank and all the rest of it. You know, people don't understand that, and the economy collapses. People already don't trust the media, which is very encouraging, but it would be very easy to mislead a significant segment of the American public on the true causes of this.
I'm here with renowned international journalist Alex Newman today. We're talking about a lot of topics. Just kind of a follow-up point, there's another great writer, Dr. Henry Makau, who points out not only Trump's Zionist affiliations, but also that he seems to be a part of this Jewish death cult, Chabad, which both he and Putin seemingly are a part of. I encourage you all to get to his work and do your own investigating, and you arrive at your own conclusion. Now, in this January special report, we want to now talk about what's going on behind the scenes. The quote-unquote deep state pulling the strings from behind the scenes was an article you had written alongside another one, which was called Behind the Deep State, the CFR Trilaterals and Bilderbergs. Why don't you give us a synopsis of these two articles?
Well, thank you, Eric. I appreciate it. And so, yeah, I did a special report basically trying to outline all the important elements of what I call the deep state, or even the deep state behind the deep state. You know, we have a situation now where about 3/4 of Americans recognize that there is a such thing as a deep state, you know, loosely defined as a group of actors operating behind the scenes beyond the reach of our elected officials who set policy. And there's no question that this exists. There's no question that this has existed for generations now. And so the real, you know, effort here, in my opinion, is to properly define this for the American people so that they understand what we're up against. So this special issue, which we've now turned into an ebook, and I've been giving speeches on it around the country, is an effort to do exactly that. And so basically I break it down into a number of components. You know, the obvious one, what we see on the surface, is the government component of this. So, you know, the bureaucracies, which are overwhelmingly anti-constitution, anti-Trump, anti-liberty, and pro-tyranny, pro-globalism, pro-establishment. And, you know, we have mountains of data showing that this is the case. The intelligence agencies, of course, play a crucial role here, whether that be in you know, using false flag attacks or blackmailing politicians or spying on the American people or overthrowing foreign governments or trafficking drugs or sending weapons to Mexican drug cartels and terrorist groups in Syria and Libya. You know, pick your evil, and these bureaucracies and intelligence agencies are involved in it. But beyond that, you know, I think we're really missing the point if we stop there. You know, we have to look also at the, you know, the semi-secret organizations like the Council on Foreign Relations that I mentioned, like the Bilderberg Group, 120 to 150 of the most powerful people in the world meeting behind closed doors once a year. We have the Trilateral Commission founded by David Rockefeller and Zbigniew Brzezinski, who, of course, you know, believed in world government achieved by progressive regionalization of the world, and who openly admitted this, right? I mean, he viewed America as obsolete and believed that we needed to move toward essentially global Marxism, global technocracy, if you read his books.
Right.
So these are some troubling organizations. And then beyond that, you know, we need to look, I think, at the secret societies that are involved in the occult. And I refer to, for example, the Bohemian Grove, where these guys come together and, you know, Alex Jones snuck in there with a video camera and filmed these guys doing weird rituals in front of a 40-foot stone owl. You know, they said they were burning a human effigy and doing these weird, you know, disgusting chants and wearing these hoods and robes. It's just unbelievably bizarre. And, you know, a secular person probably looks at that and scratches their head. But, you know, Christians who believe the Bible, I think, understand very clearly what's going on here. We have, you know, the Skull and Bones, which is basically like a death cult operating at Yale that has involved, you know, Bush, Kerry, William Buckley, right, the pseudo-conservative leader who, you know, specialized in attacking anybody who pointed out these obvious things. So, you know, we have all that. And, you know, I also trace the money. You know, how does the money part of this work? And, of course, you have the Federal Reserve. You have these, you know, mega wealthy people like the Rockefellers, like the Rothschilds, like the George Soroses of the world who got to start with Rothschild money. stashing all these billions that they loot from humanity in these tax-exempt foundations, and then using these billions to undermine our churches, undermine our liberties, undermine our nations, hire rioters to go out in the street and foment civil unrest, overthrow governments that they don't like. And so that's essentially, you know, the big picture of it. And, you know, I mentioned, of course, that if you don't understand the spiritual component of this, you're again missing the point, right? And I point to, for example, Ephesians 6:12, that tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. And, you know, if you miss that part of it, again, you're missing the picture, in my opinion. And so that's kind of a brief summary of it. I hope people will go to the New American, get yourselves a copy of the special report. You can either order the print magazine, or you can read all the articles online for free if you choose. But get this information out there, because, you know, dangerous times are coming. And if the American people don't understand what we're dealing with, you know, we obviously cannot deal with this properly, right? If you don't have an accurate diagnosis of the problem, you're never going to come up with an accurate solution or an accurate treatment. And so it's just so important that people get this information. If you're not familiar with these things, I really encourage you to read this information, get it out there, share it with your friends and with your family, because our lives and our liberty are at stake here.
Yeah, absolutely. I've said this as well. Follow the money with all of the Soros funding. We know the connection between the Vatican and the mass immigration movement, if you will, but he's also funding, you know, these various marches that we're seeing, whether it's, you know, anti-gun or abortion or all of these nefarious quote-unquote social justice issues that we're seeing that tie into the New World Order. And I kind of just wanted to add to what Alex has already mentioned. You know, we, of course, in the alternative media market are being labeled as fake news, if you will. We're crazy nutters. We're crazy conspiratorial theorists. And what's ironic is just yesterday, the other day on RT, there's a recent study that found that conspiracy theorists aren't all tinfoil hat wearing crazy people. I will only speak for myself. You know, I have an advanced degree myself. I know, Alex, you're also well educated yourself. And, you know, the point is, with the rise in censorship here, Alex, I wanted to get your take on not only censorship, you know, how you might have been affected, but the question must be asked, you know, will we have a voice over the next few years? I mean, will we be able to even find our articles online?
Well, there's definitely a concerted effort to silence any dissenting voices. I mean, we're seeing it in the purges of YouTube that you alluded to earlier. We're seeing it in the censorship going on in Facebook. In fact, a Brazilian friend of mine who's you know, a pretty well-known Christian writer and speaker, he actually had his Facebook page shut down for a time, and all he did was post a Bible verse. I mean, it was nothing controversial, just a Bible verse about you know, God's opinion on homosexual activity, and this got him put into Facebook jail and censored over alleged hate speech. It's unbelievable. And if this continues, you know, Google now is doing its best to conceal conservative and liberty-minded and Christian information and websites. If this continues, they hope that they're going to silence us. So we're going to have to go back to, you know, old-fashioned pamphleting and things like that. But, you know, as long as I'm here, I'm going to keep fighting, and I'm going to keep trying to get this information out. So.
Yeah, speaking of that, I'm also on a 30-day ban. I'm in Zuckerberg jail. I'll be back March 17th. I'll be back March 17th for those who've been messaging me on Facebook. I can't even respond to your messages there. So March 17th will be the day I will be back. Always good to get Alex back on the program. Again, I'm going to, in the description box, provide all of his latest articles. Of course, this latest January special report, Unmasking the New World Order and the Deep State. So much to discuss. Final words, Alex, feel free to relay any, you know, upcoming media appearances, projects that you're working on. Of course, we already know where to find some of your work, but feel free to elaborate on anything else, and I'll close out the program.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much again for having me on, Eric. I appreciate it. People, I hope will stay tuned to The New American. We have an online portal, thenewamerican.com, and you can subscribe to the print magazine, which comes out twice a month. I've got a big project in the works right now with a number of other people in the education field. We're going to be putting out a book and some DVDs and pamphlets, and basically organizing a concerted effort to get as many children as possible out of the government schools, so that you know, they can get a proper education and not be indoctrinated into this evil New World Order agenda. So I hope people will stay tuned for that. And thanks again for having me on the program, Eric, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, we'll try to get you back on in the upcoming months, folks. Listen, a lot going on in the world today. We've got to try to get as much information as we can out to the public. Continue to keep in prayer, as Alex alluded to. This is a spiritual fight in the end between Christ and Antichrist forces, which are working in the world, both on the church side of things, but then also on the state side of things. So I just want to thank you all for tuning in to Tradcat Night Radio today. Check in to tradcatnight.blogspot.com daily. It's updated daily. If you can, in this information war, folks, I appreciate all your prayers, but please get behind me financially. Click that PayPal button. And I do appreciate all of your support on both the prayer level and then also financially speaking. We've got another great guest coming on tomorrow. You'll have to tune in to find out, to see who that guest will be. And again, as I mentioned at the top of the broadcast, we've got live call-in shows starting April 7th. And perhaps we'll get Alex on the program for that live call-in show sometime in the spring or summertime to help break down the New World Order as we continue to unveil the recent current events which are happening in our times. Now, until next time, my good friends, stay safe, God bless, take care.